I mean,
I don't believe it's real chocolate till somebody takes a bite out of it.
But then the other thing is, like, would you want to eat that chocolate? Because you're keeping it for the whole time. So let's say you're there for like 3 weeks or something.
And we're absolutely. Like, I will cry my sorrows and eat that chocolate.
Attention. Calling all whispering hunties. Oh, crrr.
Hey.
Hi, I'm Mijan, a semi-drag race expert charged with the task of talking about queer culture and drag race around the world. We're gonna keep it cute, we're gonna keep it shady, but always real. So grab a snack, come on back, and let's get into those whispering hunties.
Oh my God, is that Mancy Mandel? Hi, how are you?
I'm good, love. How are you?
I'm good. It is such an honor to have you on the podcast. I mean, you are so busy. We're really glad that you were able to fit us into your schedule. It's so funny because I was like deep diving into your Instagram and I'm just living for everything that you do, like whether it's at a hotel, whether it's a Sunday tea, whether it's, you know, at
Paradise. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. But okay, how did you get into drag?
The funny thing is I knew I always wanted to be in fashion. For someone who didn't go to fashion school, I needed to find a way. Mm-hmm. To get there. And when I saw drag, and I said, wow, this is it. This is what I need to do to be out here, to be powerful wearing these things. This is my go-to. And, you know, fortunately, it's just taken me in places that I never thought it would take me.
Oh my God.
And it's funny looking back that I'm like, I guess you can say doing what I finally want to do.
Yeah, that's really amazing. The reason why people get into drag is different for each person, but I feel like it has this magic ability of filling, I don't know if it's a void, but of creating a space of freedom where there wasn't one.
Yes. And that's the thing. I always looked at drag as like an escape for everyone or something that, you know, brought them happiness. Mm-hmm. And for mm-hmm. me personally, I knew my main target was fashion mm-hmm. and that I loved what they wore and how it made them feel.
It's so funny that you say this because I was looking on your Instagram and you were posting like behind the garment.
Behind the garment.
Behind the garment. So, okay, people, if you don't know, Mancy Mandel is the drag mom of Jasmine Kennedy and has been making a lot of these stellar outfits. So how long have you been making outfits for other queens beside yourself?
I was never a full-on seamstress. Mm-hmm. And I took interest into this because I said, you know what? I'm willing to help you out. But this is also a challenge for me to realize that this is RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
This is the top tier. Can you really sit with the big dogs when making a garment?
Mm-hmm.
And that challenge, I think, has kind of put a boost in my system to like kind of carry this on and like think maybe this is the calling for me. Hopefully.
Well, one of many callings, because you also are a stellar performer. There's like a church number that's on your Instagram where like literally like you're giving them the gospel.
Yes.
At the drag show. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like gospel drag.
Yes. It's like heavy gospel.
You're at a drag show. It's usually like a Sunday or like Saturday afternoon type kind of show. You've done the dance number. You've done maybe a ballad. And then they pull out that gospel song, like Joyful, Joyful, mm-hmm. or some Patti LaBelle.
Just enough to wake the people a little bit.
And, you know, I wouldn't say that all queer people need Jesus, but sometimes you do, especially when it's coming from a drag queen.
Yes, I absolutely agree. It first started when I started looking at these queens performing this. Even from a Facebook video, you can really feel it through the screen.
Yeah.
And that really inspires me to want to do those numbers because I'm like, can I make these people feel the same way those ladies on stage made me feel?
Yeah. And I think that like sometimes we forget that there's a lot of power in being able to get through a number. Like I have a friend of mine who's a newer queen in the New York scene. Her name's Persephone. She was trying to get the whole Dreamgirl sequence.
Yes. All the way down to the
end. Yeah. She's like, Curtis was supposed to love me. And then she goes into the whole like, and I'm telling you, I'm not going. And that is a physical feat in order to do both of those songs and like really take it to church. But like, I think that it makes the performer grow when they take on something like that.
Yes.
You know, because everyone can do their like 1-2 step to like Ariana Grande and look sexy. But it's another thing to really like move someone's spirit.
Yes. I feel like it's all in how you do it, because 5 queens can be doing the same song.
Yeah, right?
But who's going to really highlight the strong and powerful parts to these songs?
Yes.
That's where that, I guess you can kind of say, inspirational talent comes from, where it's like, I felt that way towards this queen. Now I want to be able to transfer it to somebody else that's going to feel it and carry on this kind of talent.
Yeah, yeah. For the House of Mandel, do you have a lot of children?
No, I don't. She's my one and only. I really wasn't going to have a daughter, but I looked at her, and it's crazy because she'll tell you from this point on, I was like, you look like JonBenet Ramsey. She just looked like the complete package. She's just this little tiny girl with blonde hair that's swallowing her. And I'm like, oh my God, maybe I should change my mind. And after having one, I was like, no more. I don't even know why I suggested
living in that. That is so funny. You know, when people say like drag bomb, you know, is it always like a formal relationship, or is it like, you know, like, hey, boo, I got your back. You know, if you need any help, blah, blah, blah.
Everybody has their own kind of relationships with their drag mom and drag family. But at the time, because I was the only one that knew that she was underage at the time.
Oh,
I took on more when, you know, it kind of internally the motherly came out of me.
You're like, hey, like, I have this new queen. She's coming in. We're not going to ask questions.
Yes.
So in terms of like costume making, did you help Jasmine on like everything?
No, I didn't help her with everything.
I mean, because you're capable of doing a lot. You had this gold dress that you wore, I guess, like the previous Halloween, and then you reused it and refurbished it and made it look so much better with like cutouts and like a slit. You know, like the skills don't lie. Obviously, like when you're like making a garment, sometimes the inside doesn't look really cute, but the outside, you know, like can look
well,
right.
This welcome to my closet. Well, the thing is for me, I don't know if you've watched those girls from Continental, like Sasha Colby, Chantel DeMarco, all these girls, Roxy Andrews, they just come out in these outfits and they're not much. You know what I mean? As in like yards wise, they're not much, but they know how to make it work. Yeah. And when I had won Miss Paradise in 2019, I had to come up with 2 outfits every week. And someone who doesn't do this as a job, it's like, how do we come up with 2 outfits every week unless you talk to a designer? At the time, this whole state had one designer that they go to.
Oh, wow.
And she moved to Florida.
Oh, no.
So I had to come up with 2 outfits every day. Thank God from Amazon and the scrap rack at the garment district, because like I said, I didn't need much. And my whole costumes were made from bobby pin, safety pins and spray adhesive.
Yeah, spray adhesive. Who cares about the sewing machine?
Going back to this gold dress, I don't know if you saw, I've also posted a picture of what it was prior to this.
You did the before and after.
And I looked at my closet and I said, what am I going to be for Halloween? And I had seen this dress and I said, I know this is never going to fit me again. So therefore, you know what, we're going to cut it up. And the whole thing, I kid you not, was just safety pinned and spray adhesive on my body.
Word.
There was no type of sewing going on there.
You know, you don't need to sew, but if you can style and place things in the right direction, you know, you're halfway there.
Absolutely. If you can make it look good on the outside, and you can make it last long.
Yeah.
At least till you get off the stage, then you did your job. And that's all I felt like I needed to do. And I never repeated an outfit because I could never rewear that outfit again.
I totally know how you feel. I think the thing that you made this week was absolutely gorgeous. It totally gave me that JonBenet
Ramsey.
Thank
you so much.
I feel like Denali is probably being like, yo, I need to know who that is, because, you know, for my next little figure skating, you know, drag on ice situation. It might be really cute.
In all honesty, she was not, that dress was not, I completely was not in thought of my head until like afterwards when everything was put together. And the lady who made that dress actually is like one of my favorite designers, oh, Monique V. So therefore, if for them to compare, you know, my work to hers, that's just how I saw it as when they were like, I seen a lot of comments that had said that hers looked like Denali's. And I looked at it more as like, did I really do it like that?
Yeah, you're like,
Was Denali really looking that professional? No, not Denali, because I was still giving her credit because that dress is beautiful.
Yeah. Where you live, what is a safe, queer, fun space that other people might not know about?
We also have a bar here called Georgie's.
I love Georgie's.
Yes, we have, those are our two main gay spaces as of right now, only here down the shore. But up north, we have like Club Feathers and Mandalas.
I have heard of Feathers. I haven't heard of Mandalas. But Georgie's is so cute because it's like a real bar.
It's like a bar, yes. Where Paradise is more of a club and a hotel. Georgie's is just like somewhere you go after you go to work when you're stressed out.
Yeah.
And you just want to have a drink and maybe see a drag show here and there.
Mm-hmm. If I'm remembering correctly, it has that big inside. It also has like a backyard kind of like patio area, right?
Yes, a smoking area, yes.
Yeah. And then some people live upstairs, like above it.
I think some of management lives upstairs.
Yeah.
Which is great because it's just like, oh, after work, I'm just going upstairs to go home.
It really feels like a gayborhood. Do you know what I mean?
One side of Asbury Park is gayborhood and very gay friendly in here. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love it in here, because never once did I feel like unsafe coming out. Or just running to the store. It's everybody, basically every other house here has the rainbow. So like, you know what I mean? The rainbow flag outside their house.
That is really good.
It's nice waking up to that and like taking a bike ride down and you're just seeing that everywhere. It's like, yeah, I'm meant to be here. This is home for me.
I know. And we forget like how important that is for young people. Yes. Even if they don't live in Asbury Park, like when they come to visit, I feel the same way about Asbury as I do about like Fire Island. Like every time I go, I just feel so safe and welcome. And, you know, and it's good to know that spaces like this exist, especially when people don't come from places where that is the case.
Yeah.
The camera zooms in on me.
So we get some high proof alcohol. We get gasoline. Anything that says
what makes our lives worth living is our mortality. If there were not mortality, we wouldn't be passionate.
Luckily for me, most of the beauty pageants that I've participated in don't.
I've done my fair share of blood, man.
I've always liked showing myself off naked.
Got up out of the seat, walked to me, and then slapped me.
Spontaneous conversation with people from around the world on Stranger Than Christian. Available on your favorite podcast app and at strangerthanchristian.com.
Hello there. Ever wonder if you're using the right service? Tooltip is a website that helps you find the right tools 10 times faster. And now it has a podcast called Tooltip Time. We're your hosts, Mijan Zulu and Jude Brewer. Join us as we're tasked to explore different tools and, warning, sometimes things may get weird, but we'll always let you know the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our first season is about a topic that's near and dear to our hearts, podcasting. We are two people from the industry that are committed to finding the stuff that actually works so that you can make the best decision for you, your project, or your business. See you on Wednesday for Tooltip Time. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I really loved this week's episode because we finally got to see all the queens together. And, you know, like thus far, it's hard to tell how they measure up.
Yes. It's still too soon to say.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was so funny when Deja Sky comes in walking in, feeling all happy that she survived that lip sync. But in my head, I was like, you just lip sync for your life. Like, be quiet. Like, don't draw attention to yourself. Wait until you do something good and then talk about it. You know what I mean? Don't be like, I just lap sack boots the house down.
Have an accomplishment first.
Well, because it's like, I mean, I hate to be like a cornbread, but it's like, you know, the person that says, if I have to lip sync my way to the top, I'm going to, like, that person always is in danger. Like, I'm like, danger, girl. Like,
yeah, you may have done it, but how many times were you in danger to do it? That many times. How many times were you under hot water?
Exactly. So I was a little worried for her, but you know what? I do have to say that the dress she was wearing when she did that lip sync was gorgeous.
The shaping of it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The way it was on her was beautiful. The headpiece was beautiful. It was just the black mesh that I couldn't agree with. Because if it was all in one fabric even, she would have just looked very regal. Even when she had the blue on the eye, it was just, it was beautiful. And everything like just looked so cohesive, but the black lace. And well, I'm no professional to say anything, but for me personally, it does bother me when queens just in general have that kind of blockage.
Oh, you mean because it like chops up the body instead of elongating it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see.
Including my daughter's red, white, and blue bridal dress.
Well, we will get to that. So after that, we find out that it's a ball challenge and that instead of kicking off two queens, they're bringing them back. And I was like, what in the hell? We just went through two episodes. We sent two people home and then you're going to bring them back?
It just didn't make sense to me. So when I first saw it and somebody did get eliminated, I'm like, wow. Like, this, they're coming back. Let the other girls come. And then after that, you know, I knew it was coming back.
Okay, so you had a feeling.
I had a feeling. It just didn't make sense.
Well, I was just thinking, I was like, well, that's efficient. Like, they just compete against one and then they go. In my head, I was like, wouldn't that be so funny if, like, you leave the competition so early that you don't know any of the queens?
Right. This is just something that I had thought one day. Mm-hmm. I feel like these extra episodes before they actually sent the first person home, they want to give that first queen that goes home a little bit of an opportunity to show themselves before they actually go home.
Basically, I think with the pork chop problem, like when you're the first queen to go, it's like you don't really get to spend time with them. And I think maybe...
We've never got to new pork chop.
Yeah. So it's like now we get to spend more time with the queens, which is great. But then I was like, then don't eliminate them. You know, don't put them through that mental anguish.
I think they're just looking for a bigger shocker. I feel like next season they're going to do a fear factor kind of thing where you have to hop off a plane or you're eliminated. You know, last one on the plane is eliminated.
Well, I think that the real shocker is this chocolate nonsense.
Yes. Like, and still to this point, I don't understand. I'm guessing like there's only one that has it.
Yeah, it's and a Willy Wonka situation where there's like a golden ticket.
And this is the one thing I can't even question her on anything because she won't answer me. So I'm just trying to figure out just like the rest of the world.
I totally agree. I know that like RuPaul wants to do product placement all the time. So the RuPaul chocolate bars are definitely back. And I've never had one, so I don't know if they're any good. But I don't know if I like this sort of like random save. Now what might happen is like someone who really deserves to be in the bottom just gets a get out of jail free card for no reason whatsoever.
I think at that point, Mama Ru just got tired of saying, hold up, it's not your time to go yet. So they're just doing the chocolate, doing the talk for them.
Well, I mean, but those moments.
When God is on your side, that gold ticket will be right there.
And then the thing for me is like, I don't believe that they don't know who has the golden ticket. Because what's to stop them from opening it up, putting the golden ticket in, and then, do the queens...
I didn't even think about it that way.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
do they actually hold on to it for dear life? There's no way. You're right.
Because it would, first of all, it would melt. And then second of all, like, you, to keep the chocolate in
Is it real chocolate, though? We'll never know. Did June eat it?
I mean,
I don't believe it's real chocolate until somebody takes a bite out of it.
But then the other thing is like, would you want to eat that chocolate? Because you're keeping it for the whole time. So let's say you're there for like 3 weeks or something.
And we're absolutely. I will cry my sorrows and eat that chocolate.
But then also,
absolutely.
Like, if it's like in your costume, doesn't the costume get like hot and sweaty and then the chocolate gets hot and sweaty?
I don't know, because some of them sometimes have like such revealing outfits. Like even with the lipsticks, when they did that for All Stars, I was like, how is it that the lipstick didn't fall off when some of them were doing the dancing, you know? So I feel like they just put it in the side. And then, like, when they're, like, before they filmed them lip syncing, I think they put the candy on the side.
I'm sure that
might And be. Also with all those lights, the heat that's in there, the way she opened and the way that chocolate looked, it looked like it was fresh out the fridge.
I know. And so I was like, this.
So I think it is put in the side.
I was like,
there was no sweat on that chocolate.
And you know that June must have been sweating because she was doing everything in the kitchen sink during that lip sync.
Under the sun, yes.
Oh my God. Okay, I know that it's weird to talk about the lip sync at the end, but like, did you catch how obvious her wig reveal was?
Yes. I almost know when they're going to do it. The only one that's really unbelievable for me was Roxy.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
almost at this point, everyone has done it. So it's like you almost kind of know at some point when they're going to do it.
Yeah, no one's doing a good wig reveal. Do you know what I mean? Like when Angeria.
I want to see you go from a cat wig to a 40 inch. That's a gag.
You know, and then, you know? But also, so the thing that Roxy Andrews was able to do is she was able to take it off in a way where it seemed like we weren't sure.
The way she took it off, it just looked like it had snaps in the side and it all just came out.
Yeah. And
but prior to her taking that, it looked seamless.
Yeah. And it looked good both ways, right? Like,
yes.
Underneath is just as good as the one on top of your head, right?
Yes.
And so what June had was she had box braids, but then you could see the pussycat wig underneath.
Underneath it.
And I was like, that's not how it's supposed to work. Like, you're supposed to be like, oh, wow, we didn't realize that was going to happen.
Right. For me personally, I like June and I like her drag.
Yeah.
I like her drag and what I see it on Instagram. And from what I was told, she's a stylist.
That's what she said on the show.
Yeah. I feel like a stylist, like you said, it doesn't have to look good in the, like, I'm sorry, but Carrie's, a lot of people may disagree. She made it work.
She really
did. She had the most. And we know she wasn't sewing that thing. So that thing was pinned, but that thing was pinned beautiful enough for her to walk down the runway and get off to be called to be safe.
It was like, you know, just what I good mean? Enough. Do you know what I mean?
It was just good enough. Yeah. And she could have done, and I feel like someone who's like Carrie and someone who's like June, who's doing this as a job, would be able to do this 10 times better.
I have to say that, like, each of her outfits were problematic. Like, the lengths were always a little weird. So, like, the mini skirt in the first outfit was, like, not... It was either too short or too long. It was.
And
like,
let me tell you, I love that fabric, that lamé she had on.
Yeah.
That was so beautiful. It was just the fact that she was tripping on it. And I feel like every time lamé was worn that runway, it always looked beautiful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So when it just kind of looked un-effortless and ill-fitted, kind of.
Yeah, none of her costumes were fitting correctly. So I didn't know. I don't know. Maybe she lost weight or something, or maybe she changed the shoes that she was going to wear. You know, because like if she was tripping on it, it made me. You know, she didn't intend to wear those shoes with that outfit because, you know, they were almost like on top of her heels. And then with the last outfit, I was like, why is it? It was like too short. Do you know what I mean? Like the length of the dress was too short.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if you're a stylist, why does nothing fit?
Even the first outfit she had, and that first outfit was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it killed me when it turned into a capri. It was high waters.
Yeah.
And that for me just kind of killed the whole fantasy that happened from the ankles up.
Mm-hmm. It was very confusing. Cornbread was like, oh, she's a label queen, like blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh, well, if she's a label queen, then she's also must be a fit queen because she'd know who she was supposed to be shopping with.
She wore an actual Emilio Pucci jumpsuit to her entrance. To everybody else, it felt like a rainbow outfit and it was pretty basic, but it was actually Emilio Pucci.
Mm-hmm.
So like the labels and brands doesn't really quite work well in this game for me, I feel like.
Oh, I totally agree.
It all comes down to creativity.
I don't know if drag is like really off the rack.
You have to find the right off the rack to kind of make it spectacular.
It's like you start with what's on the rack and then you add a couple extra beads, add a crystal here or there, or maybe like adjust the length, maybe add a little ruffle. You accessorize. I think that's why the Emilio Pucci moment was just kind of like, oh.
Right.
no one wants to just see you wear the thing that was in the store. We want to see it.
Done right.
Well, anyway, so June, God bless. I was live tweeting it and I was like, God bless June for doing a drag race first. Like the wig reveal that was revealed before it was revealed. Also, I think it's really insane that Deja Sky and Bosco were just safe because their clothes were beautiful.
They were beautiful, but I feel like Deja, from her first outfit that was fitted to a T, I think like some of her outfits was just very ill-fitting. The idea was there because they were very well thought out. The designs, like the white jumps, the white blazer pantsuit she had on, and that red dress. I personally, myself, have wanted that kind of a design of a dress. Personally, just like that. Yeah. But the nude was not her color. So therefore, you can see the faults in there where she didn't make it in the top and where she just landed safe.
I don't know why she talks her up. I mean, it's not that you shouldn't talk yourself up, but I feel like you need to have some humility, you know, because she was like, I'm a seamstress, like, blah, blah, blah. This is my challenge. And I was like, girl, then you better come with some stuff. So that's fair. But then Bosco's outfits were just gorgeous, like the pantsuit and then the leopard print. Oh, my God.
I did enjoy Bosco's collection, as we can say for this one.
I know. And I was like, but how is that safe? Whereas like the one that looked like she was like from Puerto Rico.
Georges.
Yeah. So Georges, I think Georges looked gorgeous, but it
absolutely
wasn't. But it wasn't like, I mean, I think with the last
the
dress.
The first one, I felt like it was very off the rack.
Mm-hmm.
Where she really, I feel like, gained it all was that white dress. And to top it off with that last dress, yeah, it's not bridal. It's red, white, and blue. But there are the way she made that, was the fitting of that whole dress just made it look so beautiful.
I agree.
And I think that's what it is. I mean, if we're going to do a report card, I think her biggest downfall was the first look. But she made up so much for that white look.
That white look. Okay, so RuPaul said it like five times, like pussy on fire. Like, that was like pussy on fire. Like, she just was
She just did it so effortlessly. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love. That's the kind of drag that I do enjoy, is that the way she walks, the way she looks, when she's on the runway, she knows how to do it effortlessly. And for someone as young as her, kudos. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because she's 21.
She's 21. Yes.
Wow. Oh my God. I want to see her in 10 years when she starts to get a little thick.
Right. Well, I want to see her in 10 years when she, you know, when she has a little more knowledge of drag and stuff, like, because this is what, how much you know now.
Yeah.
Can you only imagine in 10 you would really know?
How funny was RuPaul's whole attitude this whole episode? It was as if she didn't even care who won.
I think she was just in a good mood today.
She was in a really good mood. I was like, RuPaul,
Mama Ru took a puff. Mama Ru took that puff and she knew how to hit those lines.
Well, don't you know how she says she's sober? I was like, is she still sober?
This episode made a lot of money just from her commentaries.
Yeah. And then the funniest thing was, like, that woman from Bling Empire, like, she didn't say anything the whole time until, like, the comments.
I think they just, edited what she had to say because I feel like she didn't know what she was talking about.
She had no idea. Her feedback, she was just, like, she, like, liked everything. And like she would give a comment and then the judges would basically say the opposite. So they were like, okay, great. Like, and I'm like, and I honestly haven't watched Bling Empire, so like maybe I don't know.
I She's did.
Like, okay, is she I the did. Best I person on it. There?
No. I do like her, but I just felt like the character she played, because you know, sometimes in some of these reality TV shows, the character people play on the reality TV show, I feel like that's not really always them. And from someone, I don't know if you watch Housewives.
I do. Housewives, love them.
I don't know if you've watched the new one where they went on a vacation.
No, I haven't.
I've only seen Kenya as a bad person. Like, she always likes to start trouble. Yeah. But this version of her is just like a completely different Kenya.
Oh.
She was annoying to me. Her character was annoying to me to the show, the judge.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she was really that annoying. I don't, you know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean. And I think the thing with Kenya is that, like, she always knew what she was there for. She's like, I'm here to be the queen drama bee on this drama reality TV show. So I don't know if she was always
being herself. Right.
You know what I mean?
So is that trying to take Mimi's crown? Or is that just television version? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, I think that was just television versions of that.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, look, whoever is booking the guests, I know that Bling Empire is like a great show, just like, you know, and I love the Asian representation, but I'm like, you have to get the fun one.
I think that they're looking for like people there that are like trending things for the LGBTQ. I feel like Bling Empire, just some people, like if they've not seen it, have heard about it. Definitely have heard about it in the club. That's why I watched it. I think that those are the kind of people they're pulling as judges. Like people would say, oh yes, I remember her for Bling Empire, but I never really watched Bling Empire.
Yeah. And they tease this later that, like, you know, J-Lo is gonna appear, like, you know, on the screen next week. And she's not gonna be like on the show. And I was like, I would rather you get Jennifer Lopez to come and sit on the judging panel than have, you know, this woman who they didn't keep anything that she said really from the editing room besides like the very last bit. Like, I was like, you.
What do you mean?
So when they were walking on the runway, there were like 48 outfits.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear Christine say anything.
Like, do we really care what she has to think versus what T.S. Madison has to say? You know what I mean? And when she was up there, you really want to know her because she's a really big icon when she was up there. And I feel like someone who was, Nicki Minaj was up there. They really had sat there and let her say, your makeup sucks. You know what I mean? I think it's just the level of fame that you're in.
I don't think it's the level of fame. I think it's a level of knowing what is happening in front of you.
Like, do you really know what you're talking about? All right, then we'll edit that in there.
Yeah.
If you're just liking my dress, then that goes nowhere.
Exactly. So I'm like, the point of being the judge is not just to like stuff. It's actually to give, like, good criticism. And, like, Nicki Minaj can be like, look, either that's a good wig or it's a bad wig. Either that makeup is for your skin tone or it's not your skin tone. But she would know because look at Nicki Minaj. And T.S. Madison would know because look at T.S. Madison. And then also, they're a little bit more of the community than this person that was on the show. So I'm just like,
exactly. I feel like this person was just like a trending thing where like somebody like T.S. Madison or Nicki Minaj is almost like an icon to these people.
I'm just like, please, can our guest judges just be a little bit more like in tune with what they're watching so that like it's a fun experience? Anyway, look, it's a big TV show. It's all over the world. Like the prizes, there's lots of money. So I get it. Like maybe they have a deal with Netflix and they have to like bring someone from the show. But I would like to see a couple people who are like either queer themselves or strong allies or, you know, just someone that like means something to a large community.
Right. Someone who really stands for it.
Who might post, you know, something positive for like, you know, the trans community or just the queer community
like,
in general.
Bring me share.
Yeah.
Give me share.
Yeah. You know, bring back Kathy Griffin because she's been through a lot. I mean,
exactly. Let's bring her back.
I know, bring her back. Oh my gosh. Well, I could talk to you all afternoon.
Right.
But here on Whispering Hunties, we love to encourage and empower our listeners to do fervent and passionate and consensual stalking of all of our guests. So where can people find you, lift you up in a consensual manner, online or in person?
You guys can look me up on Instagram at Miss Mandela, MissMandella. And you guys can look me up on Facebook at Mancy Mandel.
Amazing. Well, thank you for being on the podcast, for giving us such an amazing ball of sunshine, drag daughter.
Thank you. This has been such a blast.
Hopefully we'll have you back sometime soon.
Absolutely.
Please keep on keeping on. If I manage to make it down to Asbury when it's a little bit warmer and, you know, like the Kikis are happening nonstop, I will definitely be, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be front row because I'm like 6'4" and people get mad, you know, because I'm like blocking their view, but I will definitely be second or third row and try and like, you know, throwing the dollar bills out at
absolutely.
It is amazing to see the number of times when you're doing your drag and someone just comes and makes it rain, just like dollar bill, dollar bill, dollar bill, dollar bill, dollar bill.
Exactly. It makes you want to sit down and say, do I really need to do another number?
I'm really hoping that, you know, when it's a little bit warmer, I can come and see you and just watch people make it rain nonstop.
Absolutely. It's hibernation time right now here, so maybe around May or June.
Exactly. Everyone, please stay well. Omicron is leaving, but it's still here. And, you know, masks and, you know, self-protection is real. And till next week, we'll see ya. Bye.
Bye.
Whisper Nancy is not endorsed by World Wonders, VH1, Viacom, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race, Canada's Drag Race, and all names, stickers, audiences, and registered trademarks and or copyrights bear respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.